Well, I was reading a message by George Buttrick, and I took this title, Where Are the Nine, from his message and some of the points, but basically the Lord just gave me a message from this passage. And I had read recently this week from Jacques Maritain, who is a, I don't know if that's the right French pronunciation, but he's a French philosopher, and he said this, gratitude is the most exquisite form of courtesy. Gratitude is the most exquisite form of courtesy. Nobody likes to deal with ungrateful people. When people say thank you, it almost establishes a rapport. It really makes your day, doesn't it, when people say thank you. But if they have signs of ingratitude, it sort of spoils your day or spoils the relationship. That happens in the hospital a lot. If you have patients who are ungrateful, there's just no rapport, no connection. It's more like mechanical work. But then when there's gratitude shown, it just sort of builds a bridge, and it's a connecting point. It's because your work as a nurse becomes more personal. Well, courtesy shown by gratitude is just as important to God as it is with people. That's more important. Seneca, a Roman philosopher, wrote this. He said, he that urges gratitude pleads the cause both of God and men, for without it we can neither be sociable nor religious. Gratitude and ingratitude are both heart conditions. Heart conditions, yeah. Gratitude is a healthy heart condition. Ingratitude has a prognosis of heart failure, if you think about it. Our text illustrates this. Our text is an illustration of gratitude and ingratitude and God's response to both of those. But also, it gives us an opportunity to look at the characteristics and the nature of these two attitudes. And first of all, we look at gratitude. And gratitude doesn't come from outward events. Gratitude doesn't come from outward events. We might say, oh, it's for all the things we are thankful for, and we say the events and the things that we're thankful for, but it's the attitude that causes us to be thankful. Not even a miracle feeling. A wonderful miracle that has happened in this passage causes some people to be thankful. Some of them aren't thankful. And that's not, that may be surprising to us. How could they experience a wonderful miracle of healing from leprosy and not be thankful? You know, that's surprising, but it's also surprising to God. One of them, when he saw he was healed, came back praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him, and he was a Samaritan. Jesus asked, were not all sin cleansed? Where are the other nine? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner? Surprising, even to God. And on the other hand, it's also surprising that the adversity of life, the hardship of life, the trials, the misfortunes, they cannot stifle the attitude of gratitude if it is in the heart. If the idea of a thankful spirit is inside of the heart and resides there, it cannot be stifled by external circumstances. It was when Jesus was facing the cross that he said these words to the Father, I thank you, Father. I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth. It was when Paul and Silas had received a severe beating, a severe flogging, and they sat in a dark, miserable prison cell in chains, that they started praising God in the middle of the night. And it caused an earthquake, of course, but it was their praise to God and thankful spirit that was being demonstrated. It was for a very frugal harvest in a very dangerous and hard time, a time of danger and a time of hardship, that the early pilgrims had the first Thanksgiving Day celebration. It was for not a great harvest. It was just for a harvest, and they were thankful for whatever it was. It was during the Third Year War in Germany, in 1637, in Heidelberg, Germany, that a Lutheran pastor, Martin Rinkhart, he wrote a famous hymn. But that year, he had buried 4,480 people, including his wife.
in an epidemic. And at that time, he wrote a famous Thanksgiving hymn, and it was put to music in 1644, still while they were going through this raging war. And we sang that hymn today. We sang, "Now Thank You, All Our God," and I want to read two verses of it. Listen to them carefully and think about the context they were written in by that man who had just lost his wife and so many of his parishioners and kinfolk in the town. "Now thank we all our God with hearts and hands and voices, who wondrous things hath done, in whom his world rejoices, who from our mother's arms hath blessed us on our way with countless gifts of love, and still is ours today." And this last verse, "All praise and thanks to God the Father now be given, the Son and Him who reigns with them in highest heaven, the one eternal God, whom earth and heaven adore, for thus it was, is now, and shall be evermore." Thanksgiving is perpetual in the heart of those who have a heart condition of gratitude. Gratitude doesn't depend on outward circumstances. Both gratitude and ingratitude are conditions of the heart. They come from not from external forces, but from internal sources. So then, from what fountains does gratitude flow? Where does it spring from inside of us? Well, one source is a will of wisdom. A will of wisdom. How we choose to see. Life is made up of dark and bright. And you can choose to see one, or you can choose to see the other, or you can choose to see both. Now, wisdom sees both, but it fixes a steady gaze on the bright. It fixes a steady gaze. It puts its attention and focus on the bright. Two people, or just two men, look through prison bars. One saw mud, and the other stars. You've probably heard that before. It's a way of seeing. I'll just read it again. It's so cool. Two men look through prison bars. One saw mud, the other stars. Now you say, wait a minute. What if it's overcast? And all there is to see is mud. Well, geologists will find interest in what they're looking at, won't they? And the meteorologist will be interested in saying, "Oh, this great interesting sky, there's clouds and all that." And the artist will paint a beautiful picture of both of them. It's how you see. It's how you see life. How you see things. That's where gratitude springs from. People make themselves happy or unhappy by how they see, how they look at things. Some look at what they lack. They just got their focus on things they don't have, things they are lacking. They are lacking the newest technological gadget that the other neighbors have, you know. And then they say, "Well, I'm lacking room for all these new gadgets I've got, and I can't get any more because I have no more room. So I lack room, or I lack the health to enjoy them, you know." And what they lack in their total focus is a very unhappy focus. Happy people look at what they have, and they count their many blessings, and they see what God has done. Let's read that script, that verse we sang. "Count your many blessings, name them one by one." And there's a long list if we name them one by one. "And it will surprise you what the Lord has done." That's a good song, and we should sing it more often. Another source of gratitude. Another source of gratitude is a disposition of humility. A disposition of humility. Well, ingratitude revolves around this idea of pride. And how does that work out? Well, pride says, "What I have earned. I pay my own way." Okay? You know, you've heard that in some people. What I earned, that's what I get. It's what you earn. Work hard for it, and you get it. You know? And that is an attitude of pride. Lips that say, "Hey, I deserve better. You know, I deserve better. I've been shortchanged by life." You know? And there's very little thanksgiving on those lips. More or less like the atheists, all dressed up with no one to thank. And those who claim to be obliged to no one, "I'm obliged to no one,"
Well, they've forgotten something. They forgot a mother's labor pains, didn't they?
They sure did.
And they've forgotten the provision of a home that they grew up in, or an education in school by devoted teachers. Maybe not all of them were devoted, but they gave them an education. They forgot that farmers and truckers and grocers put food on their table. They may pay for it, but it wouldn't be there if it wasn't for those people. They have forgotten the utility workers that help to supply them, and make sure that juice is running through their electrical system of their house, and make sure the sewers are unclogged, right? These utility workers. And they forget God to give them their next breath. They are obliged. They are just blind. That's all. Well, gratitude revolves around this disposition of humility. And it's an honest realization that, no, I have not earned all that I enjoy in life. Who has earned Beethoven's music? Who has earned Rembrandt's painting? Who has earned the freedoms that were purchased by the blood of heroes during war? And who has earned the Bible? Who has earned the church? Who has earned the cross of Christ? Little of what we enjoy in life we have earned. Little. We deserve a few things because of what we've earned, but very little that comes our way is what we've earned. It's just by God's grace. And the grace and work of many, many people. It comes without our deserving it. And that fact should engender an attitude of gratitude. Pride spells ingratitude or thanklessness. The 9 Jews that were healed that day were thankless. They just went on their way. Only the lowly-hearted Samaritan, who was sort of an outcast because he was a foreigner, returned to thank the Lord. Gratitude and ingratitude are both attitudes of the heart. They are heart conditions. And finally, gratitude reflects the state of our faith. That's what gratitude is almost like a mirror of. The 9 Jews healed of leprosy had a focus. Their focus was physical. They were focused physically on what had happened. They were focused on their body. They were focused on their renewed health, because what does this mean? You know, I'm a Jew, but I've been an outcast all this time. Now I'm healed. I can enjoy the favors of being a Jew again. I was like a new life. I'm so proud to be a Jew again and have those favors restored, go back in the community, get to participate in everything. That's what was on their mind. But we have physical bodies, David. You have to be thankful, and it's true. When we enjoy Thanksgiving Day, we thank God for many physical things. But it goes deeper than that. It goes much deeper. And this is the illustration that happens in the Samaritan. We have a deeper realm within us. We have a spiritual realm. We are not just physical bodies. We are not just an array of physical things. If we're in a prison cell lonely, we can still be thankful. And God can help us to be thankful. Inside that realm of the Spirit, inside that deeper internal realm where the will of wisdom resides, where the disposition of humility resides that we spoke of, this is the place that our character is nurtured, where our character as personal beings is nurtured and grows. And how does it grow? Well, there's a language that is spoken in that internal character, that internal place. And it's the language of the internal realm. It's called faith. Faith is the language of our inner being. And faith sees beyond the materialism. It sees beyond the materialism, which is sometimes counted as all important. And the 9 people, the 9 Jews that were healed, that's what they counted as being all important. But the Samaritans counted something else. There seemed to be this obliged feeling. I am obliged to this prophet, this person that came. I'm obliged to God who has given me my healing. And so he came back. And he had this language of faith expressed through gratitude. It was this grateful Samaritan returning to give thanks that discovered something on the lips of Jesus that he had probably not known before. It was that there was a new power released from his inner being, from his spirit, in this language of faith called gratitude that he expressed. And Jesus said to him, "Rise and go, your faith has made you well." God is surprised at our ingratitude, and he's surprised at this ingratitude that comes from this materialistic attitude, because we have totally sometimes neglected our spirit and the faith place. We're not all 10 cleansed. Where are the 9? Where are the other 9? Was no one found to return and give thanks and praise to God except this foreigner? But when Jesus said to the Samaritan, and he said these words, "Your faith has healed you. Your faith has healed you." He used a word that meant something else. It was a word that went beyond physical wholeness. It's the same word that's used for salvation and deliverance. And thankfulness is an attitude of the heart that it engenders faith. It's a preparatory attitude for faith to grow in a heart. And faith is the language of salvation. "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son." Do we believe that? Are we thankful for that? If we are thankful for that, then it's our salvation, because whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. Ingratitude is a heart condition, and it's a fatal heart condition. It's a fatal heart. You will have a heart attack someday with that. And the attack will be the end of your life, and it'll be over, and you'll be standing before the God that you should have thanked all your life. For us who have come to know the Savior, who have believed in him that will not perish and have eternal life, we who are on that way will just continue this attitude going right into heaven. Right through the portal gates, we'll be praising God and giving thanks to him. Attitude of gratitude is a healthy heart condition, a heart condition that leads to salvation through faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's be thankful. Lord God, thank you so much for this passage of such a great illustration of both the attitude of gratitude and the attitude of ingratitude. Lord, we want to be a people who are known for our gratitude, who are known for our thankful attitudes and our spirit that does not just celebrate it on one day of the year, but throughout the entire year, we are a grateful people. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.